This evening I would like to read to you from Quiet Talks with the Master by Eva Bell Werber, entitled The Calm Mind. My child, we were talking together of problems which come into a life and which must need be untangled, thought out, and worked through. As problems and questions arise in your outer experience, never forget for a moment that within is the mind of Christ. Do not waste time in idle speculation or thinking, but come within for quiet contemplation with the master of your soul. Thus can you make him not only your soul's master, the master of all outward conditions. As you lay the problem before the Christ mind within, as you talk it over with every phase of its perplexities, as you say, Lord, I don't know how to decide this thing. I cannot see the future or know what will be best in the coming days. There will come a quiet peace, which will leave the outer mind so hushed and still, so calm, that it will reflect the inner mind as a lovely lake reflects the reality of the trees on its banks. Then the thoughts and ideas which come to you concerning that which is so confounding will be clear, all compelling, definite, that you will know the way to take. All outer circumstances shall so evolve themselves and work together that there will be found only one course when you would consider taking. And with the peace and feeling of sureness within your whole being, you will know that this is my choice for you. From this point of higher knowledge and consciousness, you have used your freedom of choice and chosen my way to solve your problem. So you are free, unfettered, a soul standing upright, using all your God-given powers. Then you are really open for further growth and development. There are many hidden truths and meanings in these last lessons. Ponder them, study them. They are given you as a compass to chart your day's activities, and only as they are made use of shall you be given more and more of my wisdom. Only by living with them can you turn and pass on to other souls whom I would have them receive them from you. And from The Second Coming of Christ by Paramahansa Yogananda. From the baptism by the Holy Ghost. Man is a combination of body, life force, and consciousness. His consciousness is a reflection of Christ consciousness. His life force is a reflection of cosmic energy. His body is condensed cosmic energy and life energy. Consciousness, life force, and the body are the different rates of conscious cosmic vibration. Life force vibrating more finely becomes cosmic consciousness, and life force, when it vibrates grossly. Changes in electrons, atoms, and molecules in bodily flesh. Life force vibrating more finely becomes cosmic consciousness, and life force, when it vibrates more grossly, changes into electrons, atoms, and molecules in bodily flesh. After all, the human body, life force, and consciousness, being three different vibrations, are held together by the nucleus of ego and soul. Man is condensed miniature vibration. In order to free the soul from the cage of the threefold vibrations of body, life force, and consciousness, it has to be baptized or united with the original cosmic vibration of Om. When the wave feels itself isolated from the sea, then the boundaries of the wave must be expanded until they take on the shape of the sea. In the same way, when the soul feels itself confined in the physical, astral, and ideational bodies, it should be taught how to detach itself consciously from these three bodies and become expanded in spirit. By the highest meditation, the body loosens its atomic vibrations and becomes life force. And by deeper meditation, the astral body becomes elaborated into the ideational body. Then by wisdom, the ideational consciousness becomes expanded into Christ consciousness. But it must be remembered that when the yogi or preceptive student listens to cosmic vibration, his mind is diverted from the physical sounds of matter outside his body to the circulatory sounds of the vibrating flesh. Then his consciousness is diverted from the vibrations of the body to the musical vibrations of the astral body. Then his consciousness wanders from the vibrations of the astral body to the vibrations of consciousness in all atoms. Then the consciousness of the yogi listens to the Holy Ghost, or cosmic sound emanating from all atoms. This is the way that ordinary consciousness should be baptized or expanded into Christ consciousness through the expanding power of the Holy Ghost, or the all-pervading Om vibrating sound, heard in meditation by the practice of the meditation technique taught in the preceptor lessons. When you utter Om, it travels not only around the earth but throughout all space and eternity. So the sound emanating from the vibrations of all atoms is called the Holy Ghost, or the sacred vibrations. As the above said, when the practice of the preceptor given meditation technique, one is able to shut out all sounds of matter. His consciousness passes through the vibrating sounds of the body and through the musical astral sounds to the sound of Om, or the Holy Ghost. When the yogi's consciousness is able not only to hear this cosmic sound, but also feel its actual presence in every unit of space, in all finite vibrating manner, then the soul of the yogi becomes one with the Holy Ghost, or the holy vibration. Jesus the Savior, a yogi, having met his guru of former lives, St. John, was baptized by this omnipresent sound of Om. And he also saw it with the spiritual dove, or light, with the two wings of golden and blue color, representing vibrating creation and Christ consciousness, and the silvery starry mouth representing spirit. And our Bible reading this evening comes from St. John, beginning with verse 14. After Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought to kill him more, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but had also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father which loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that they may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they that are which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can I believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? I would like to speak this evening on your relationship with God. And speak about religion, religious topics, about God and the relationship of God. But in all of these writings, there is one fundamental truth that rings true, that the relationship with God is to be found within, and that this spiritual consciousness, this vibratory consciousness that is available to all mankind, is sought but by few. There are many that seek out religious paths, and in them they find social community, they find a sense of belongingness, perhaps for a while they sense some sense of peace and upliftment while they're in church. But unless there is a burning desire to know God, unless life has lost all of its savor without knowing God, then you have not truly entered into the spiritual path. Life can be good, it can be fun, it can be fulfilling in its own right. But this is not necessarily a spiritual path. There are many who represent themselves as spiritual leaders. There are many who represent themselves as spiritual people and followers. And yet in the Bhagavad Gita, Jesus says, out of many thousands, only one here and there seek me. And out of those many that seek me, only one here and there rise up and know me perfectly. Why is this true? It is not true because God is unavailable to the ordinary man. It is not true because God holds himself aloof and makes himself so far above our own consciousness, so far beyond what we are willing to and able to do. But rather, Jesus tells us that it is but for the little children, those who approach God in a childlike way, in a simple way, in a complete, open, and honest, trusting kind of a way, that they will know God. Just as a child seeks out its mother, just as a child wants nourishment, peace, warmth, comfort, so do we as spiritual truants, spiritual children who have left our Father's kingdom, must we seek out God in everything that we do and all that we say. There can be no hypocrisy in our search for God. There can be no lusting after power or wealth or fame, and have that pass as our search for God. There needs to be one abiding search. There must be one abiding desire within our hearts and within our souls. And that is to taste the sweet communion with God. That is to become one with God, to know Him in all of His spirituality, to know Him within our consciousness, to find ourselves expanding with His love and His peace and His blessings in every part of our lives. This is not something that we need to run off to high mountains to, for we have the highest mountain right within ourselves. We have it at the Christ consciousness point. By traveling up that mountain of the spine and spinal consciousness until we traverse across the plains of the brain and into that third eye point, there the mountain touches the sky. And there we enter into that star, the star of God consciousness. It happens all right within ourselves. And it is not something that we need to pay a lot of money for. It is not something that we need to travel for. It is not something that we need accomplishments in this world for. But it is rather a simple trust in God, a searching out for God, a single desire for God. In all the world's teachings, this is the one commonality, that we must strive to seek out God's will. We must strive to find God in our lives. For there are many paths in this world. There are many denominations. There are many divisions in Christ. And one argues with another. One often fights with another. Some put others down, cast aspersions. Think of the others as being filled with the devil, casting out hate. And yet, if we are truly in love with God, we find God in all individuals, even where there are ignorant individuals, even where people perhaps worship God in ways that are not the same as ours. Still, there is perfection there. Still, there is God there. And God will take care of those. God will see to it that they are guided into His own presence. He will see to it that a desire springs up in them to seek Him alone. It may not happen in a minute or an hour, or perhaps even in this lifetime. And yet it is not us to condemn others for what they do and the practices that they follow. It is up to us to keep our minds upon God alone, to trust in Him, to trust that He will lead us unto our own salvation, and that He is working out others' salvation in His own way, by keeping our minds focused upon our own consciousness, by keeping our consciousness focused upon our own spiritual center. There we can experience the kingdom of heaven right now. The kingdom of heaven did not come into this world 2,000 years ago. It has always been here. It was here with the creation of the earth and the stars and the cosmos. It has been here since the creation and will be here until God withdraws all of this creation back into Himself. Man is unique in its temple. We have the capacity to consciously know God. And so if we choose not to waste this lifetime, if we choose to make the highest use of it, we will seek out this consciousness. Who would not embrace the thought of blissfully knowing God, of feeling His presence near and dear? Which one of us would send that away? And yet, which one of us are willing to take time out of our busy days, sit down and enter into meditation? You do not need to enter into meditation with a knitted brow, concentrating hard, striving intensely, For God does not require this of us, but rather we need to sit down in quiet, deep contemplation. We need to be willing to set aside thoughts of the world, of our bodies, of the senses, and put our complete and thorough trust in Him. The meditation techniques that we have are simple. When I first met Mother and took Kriya from her, she asked me immediately after taking Kriya what I thought. And I said, well, it's a lot simpler than I thought. And she said, well, wait and see. And indeed, it's brought on many strange and many times difficult experiences. And yet, the search for God, the techniques of finding God, are very simple. They apply to our breath. And by simply concentrating upon our breath, we release it. And by letting go of all thoughts of the mind, they too are released. And with this release comes a simple, placid thought, a simple, placid experience. And in that placidity comes a peace. As this peace grows within us, our consciousness takes on a new shimmer, and it expands. And as we feel our breath slow down even more, and this consciousness expands, our awareness is not only of our own body, but of the vibration that extends out beyond our body. And as we let this consciousness continue to grow, we feel that holy vibration that permeates all of this creation, and we find our consciousness spreading out and embracing all of this creation, regardless of its merit, regardless of whether an individual deserves it or not, or whether a part of creation deserves it or not. Our consciousness spreads to it, and we feel a holy vibration. It unites it in one common cause, one common effect. It is by entering into this holy shrine on a daily basis that we become permeated with it, that we become lifted up by it, and that it comes back to us and reminds ourselves of its presence all through the day. It's been an amazing experience since Mother ordained me that I felt a renewness in my soul. I felt a keen aspiration after God's oneness. And I felt His presence ever near and ever dear. It is such a wonderful life. It is such a wonderful experience. And then we take that consciousness that we experience within, and we take it outside of ourselves. And perhaps through word or deed or just simply being with another individual, we feel that consciousness in them as well as in ourselves. We feel that consciousness within the relationship, not in a personal kind of a way, but in an impersonal kind of a way. We experience that consciousness in all that we do, even when we are doing paperwork or other impersonal types things. We feel it permeating every part of our lives. We feel it expanding beyond our own physical bodies and embracing all that we see and all that we know. The sense of I-ness expands from this body consciousness into a greater consciousness, a Christ consciousness. And we are no longer just an individual floating on this earth, spinning through miles and miles, traveling at incredible speeds, but rather we are an inner stillness and an inner consciousness that is ever alive. And in dying to ourselves, we do not die. Rather, we are reborn. We are reborn within our spiritual selves, and we find ourselves renewed within the spiritual self. And so the teachings that are taught did not originate with Jesus, although he is such a tremendous example and exponent of this, but it has been the teaching to mankind all down through the centuries. We find many examples of it in many different religions. In Persia, we find it spoken of as Zoroaster. In Hinduism, we find that these great mystics sought this inner experience. And they found many things. They found many inward powers that developed as they went inwardly. And yet they found that these two were limiting. They did not really bring them the fullness of consciousness that they were looking for. For powers, sought for power's sake alone, are no more fulfilling than developing a particular machine to perform a particular task. And yes, it may bring some exaltation, it may bring some wonderment, it may bring some happiness for a while, but like any other material power or pleasure, within it is the seeds of its own destruction. And soon that pleasure of that object wears out. And so too it is when we seek power for its own sake. It has no meaning within its own self, but rather has the seeds of destruction sown within it. It is only infinite consciousness. It is only God consciousness and the purity of it that does not wear out its welcome, that does not eventually fade with time and with use. And so it is God consciousness alone that we should seek out. Now Jesus here spoke of the difference between the Son and the Father. And he said that the Father does not judge. And in truth, in relationship to the Hindu Bible, the Father is Brahman, spirit unmanifest, spirit in total unity, without separation. And so God, unmanifest, does not judge anything, but sees the purity of God in all that there is. But the Christ consciousness is that separation of purity of God consciousness into this material world. And there, by its own light, it exposes darkness and reveals it for what it is, nothing but a figment of man's imagination. But the world over speaks of karma and of cause and effect. As you sow, so shall you reap. And so by not having our minds anchored in God consciousness, we act in this world in ignorance. And thereby we can bring out results that are not of our liking. For surely, as the sun rises and the sun sets, whatever actions we put into action, we will see a reaction with it. We will see its consequences. And so we must be careful in our deliberation. We must be careful in our action. And as the Christ Spirit was instructing Eva Bellwerber, the highest duty that we can perform is first put our minds on God. First feel his peace. First feel his presence. And then be lifted up in that. And then know that whatever inspires you, whatever thoughts come your way, that will be perfectly his, if you feel his presence every step of the way. But by moving out of Christ's presence and the presence of God consciousness, we go out into our own behavior, dictated by the past, teachings that we have taken on, dictated by those things that we have learned in our humanness, perhaps facing our own karma, of things that are coming back to us, and our own poor habits that we've developed over time. And so we keep on recasting the spell. We keep on retreading in the same old ruts, and then wondering why our lives do not go anywhere. By saturating our minds and our souls with the presence of God, and then seeking to take that out into the world, we will find that God's presence can be ever one with us. We do not need to enter into God's presence and then leave his presence. We do not need to enter into meditation and then leave meditation. by entering into deep meditation and feeling God's presence there, that can accompany us everywhere that we go in all the tasks that we do, and therefore divinizing every aspect of our life. There are those who would teach that we must combat evil. And yet there is one simple formula: that darkness cannot cohabitate with light. And that as you bring the light of Christ consciousness into your own being, into your own heart, into your own soul, that that light casts out darkness wherever it goes. And whatever it sets its mind upon, darkness cannot live with it. And so it is not running around with hate. It is not running around with suspicion and fear in our minds that we combat darkness. But it is by putting our minds and our consciousness directly on God, experiencing His presence, and then manifesting that in the consciousness of all that we say and do, that we can truly combat darkness in this world and truly lift the misery that this darkness creates in people's lives. The misery of depression, the misery of fear, the misery of uncontrolled lusts and greed. By lifting our minds and hearts to God, we can become a blessing not only to ourselves, but to all that we see and all that we do. So let us no longer abide in darkness. Let us no longer tolerate the darkness within ourselves. But let us keep a steady mind of devotion upon God. Let us keep a steady mind of meditation upon God. And let all of our actions be saturated with the consciousness of God. And then His will and His perfection will be worked out in all that we say, think, and do. But first, we must start out with that consciousness of God. First, we must start out with that presence of God. And then everything else will follow after that. As Master talked about in his article tonight, in the beginning, this consciousness starts out with the body. And as we enter into meditation, we experience the sensations of this body. But then we enter into the astral. And in truth, there is beautiful music. There are many mysterious sounds that come to us as we enter into this astral world. Sometimes it's a very high-pitched sound like that of a flute. Other times it is a very low humming sound. And so there are these various music, so to speak, of the spheres that come to our attention. But as in one of my early experiences, I saw the five-pointed star. It was a beautiful visual experience, and for an early meditation, it tempted me to go on to seek God. It inspired me to seek Him more fully. But in and of itself, it was not a mind-expanding, a conscious union-type experience. And so it did not have real value in itself, except that to inspire me to seek after God ever more greatly. You see, we may see visions and we may hear sounds. There may come very many strange and mysterious tastes in our mouths as we experience the different levels of consciousness working up through the Christ consciousness, up through the spine. At times we may see lights. There's beautiful gold light that is surrounded by a red light. And when I saw this, I had not seen it in any of the representations of the different chakras. But I was given one day that was a Tibetan, and the second chakra was on it, and it was perfectly displayed as this chakra, the second chakra. But in and of themselves, these experiences are not what we're looking for. so we must use them to inspire us, yes. We must use them to go beyond these own experiences for themselves. They are not great experiences in themselves. But when you enter into the blue light and you feel your consciousness expand into that blue light and you hear the sound of Om and you feel your soul expand out with that and you lose identity with this body and you are solely identified with this Christ consciousness, that experience is much different from one that you merely see or hear. So through feeling, you expand out and you expand beyond this body and you feel yourself in oneness with vibration with all of creation. And then through wisdom, you allow yourself to the drop to enter into the ocean, into oneness, for the wave to rediscover itself. Thinking long that it had been separate from the ocean and then collapsing in the ocean and finding that it's one with the ocean yet, that it was never truly separated. Nor could it be, for its roots were the ocean. And in truth, there is no separation. And in truth, right now, your relationship with God, even if you should not feel Him, even if you should not experience His presence, you can move on in faith, knowing that, like that wave, you are not truly separate from God. If your thoughts disturb you, if they run rampant on you, if you feel perplexity, then seek to still those thoughts. Seek to still your breath and release your consciousness so that it expands to Christ on the present. And then losing all individuality, feeling your oneness, even the idea of separation, even the idea of self, drops away. And then when you return to this body, you think, my God, how beautiful, how lovely, how perfect. And it always has been mine. I only thought that I had suffered. I only thought that there was separation. And in truth, there is only unity. There is only oneness. There is only God. Only that great consciousness. One time after coming out of one of these experiences, I thought, this is for free? It's unbelievable. And yet it does come with a price. The price of seeking after this consciousness alone until that is all that we know. So let us lift up our minds and our thoughts and feel the presence and the stillness and the peace of God. Feel the beauty of His presence in all that we do. Seek to express Him every moment of your lives, not through an act of will, so to speak, but rather by exuding His presence, by being a perfume, even as the trees and the flowers exude their perfume. So will you, by saturating your mind and your soul with God's presence, exude the perfume of that presence in all that you did, all that you do, all that you say, all that you think. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection surging in every cell of my body, my mind and my intelligence, are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss
of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Thank you.